The gift of tongues is intended again to bless God's people, just like the message, you know, that a prophet would give. God wants to bless us with these gifts. But when it is not accepted, when it is not appreciated and used the way that God intends, it can be very displeasing and not benefit anybody.
As wonderful as speaking in tongues and prophecy might be, there is a way that one has to go about using these gifts that brings benefit to others. And today on Seeds of Commitment, Lance Cook will explain how we go about using these gifts the right way. As we continue our lessons in 1 Corinthians, we find ourselves looking further at chapter 14 as we learn the proper use of the gifts of prophecy and the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. With our broadcast now of Seeds of Commitment, here's Lance.
Now, I have in my Christian walk experienced, you know, a prayer life that changes from time to time. There are seasons in my life where my prayer life is very joyful. And it's just, it's all praise, and it's all just in my heart. That's where I'm at with the Lord. That's the season that I'm in. And I find that when I'm praising the Lord and I'm expressing things to Him, I always, you know, I go back to what He's done for me, and I find that, you know, it's brings you to a sense of just being excited. Then there are other times in my prayer life, my prayer life, I have seasons just like everybody else, where it's just very surreal. It's just, you know, I'm talking to God, and I know He's there, but the joy that I had last week, it's not there right now. But I'm going to pray anyway, and I'm going to, you know, make that time and get away from everybody and all the phones and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to do it because it's highly beneficial. And I've noted that in, you know, those particular seasons, I'm more into petitions than into praise. It's just, for me, it's just, I begin to, you know, have that time of petitioning before the Lord. But I do think it's wise for all of us to kind of realize you're going to have these seasons in your life of prayer. You're going to go through maybe a valley. And man, your prayer life is going to be all about petitions. And that's okay. But there's one thing that I see here in this particular part of his passage. He's saying, you know, experience some liberty here. I don't know if you've ever been the type to go, well, no one's around right now, but I'm just going to sing to you, Lord. I don't have me leading me. I don't have a CD in, but I'm just going to sing to you. And you might not sing well. You might not think that a whole lot. But to have that liberty, I think that's what Paul's expressing here, man. You know, I got some liberty here. I think it must have been cool to walk around with Paul, man. You know, all of a sudden, what's that guy singing about up there? Singing to the Lord. And Paul's saying, you know, I've got that ability to, you know, go beyond my Greek tongue or my Hebrew tongue. And he had other glossalia. He had other dialects that God had given him the capacity to use. And so there were times in his prayer life he'd pray in a very, you know, I'm sure, tangible, understanding way with his Hebrew tongue. And then other times he would go beyond that and begin to praise God with that particular dialect that God had imparted him to. Same with his singing. And if you're desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit, don't be surprised if, you know, as you're, you know, praising God and giving Him that time and experiencing, expressing that liberty, that in one of those particular times He might impart to you the gift of speaking in tongues. That would be the setting. But I do believe He's bringing about the importance, again, of freedom. So what is the result then? I pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with understanding, sing with the Spirit, also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who accompanies the place of the uninformed say amen, or so be it, at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand the way or what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Again, verse 16, to bless with the Spirit, that is to bless the Lord. So you're using this gift, you're blessing the Lord. To give thanks is to give thanks to the Lord there in verse 17. You do that, that is good. Remember, it's all aimed at the Lord. But then he says, but understand, if an utterance comes forth in a room without an interpretation, people can't say amen to it. They don't understand it. They can't say so be it to something they don't understand. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So Paul says, speaking in tongues is very much part of my life. A man who speaks in tongues more than all of you. Yet in verse 19, he brings out this consideration. Yet not in the church. Paul saw the church setting as a setting to teach. The question comes up, you know, well then, where should this gift best operate? Well, again, the church is not the building, it's the people. Paul obviously saw the proper place, I believe, is the private devotional life. And he's going to get more into this in just a minute here. Let's move on. Brethren, in verse 20, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to the unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. So Paul begins here in verse 20. You know, Christians in Corinth displayed a childlike disposition with the use of their gift of tongues. That's what he's implying here. Putting it before all other gifts and that kind of thing. They were abusing the gift and it led to disorder and harm to others. So Paul says, if there is anything you should be, you know, infantile towards, have a childlike attitude towards malice, you know, where evil is concerned, desire, you know, to harm others. I'd be like a child in that particular area. Yet be adults or mature in the understanding of these spiritual matters. And then he goes into chapter or verse, 21, bringing up an Old Testament example where the Israelites had failed to appreciate and heed the prophets who came to them and spoke in their own language. God had threatened to turn them over to their enemies, whose language they did not understand. The foreign language of their captors, it was not some language that they were able to grasp. This was of no benefit. It was a mark of displeasure and punishment. It did not turn the people to God. They had turned what God had intended for a blessing, their prophets, that is, and they're coming to them in their own language, but not into a curse. The gift of tongues is intended, again, to bless God's people, just like the message, you know, that a prophet would give. God wants to bless us with these gifts. But when it is not accepted, when it is not appreciated and used the way that God intends, it can be very displeasing and not benefit anybody. When it is abused, my focus is not on God, then it will not turn people to God as well. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But again, prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. We have two views of the unbeliever. Those who do not believe in spiritual gifts, he could be referring to them, or the unsaved. In Acts chapter 2, you know, there was a lot of people that were drawn to that particular gift. And they were intrigued by that gift. And the Lord, you know, did use it. So you can kind of, you know, put either one in there. And then he goes on, verse 23, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are, you know, out of your mind? This kind of seems to contradict what he says previously, but Paul is simply throwing out a hypothetical case here as to what was really happening in the church in Corinth. You know, people could come in, they're going to watch, you know, different people exercising their gift of speaking in tongues. They're going to think that you're absolutely crazy. And I think what he's saying is, let's pursue order. Let's think through this. It's out of order right now. There's disorder now. And so he brings them all back and says, now I speak in tongues. I use this gift. This is how I use it personally. I believe he is modeling for the church in this letter by giving personal example how the gift of tongues should best be used. And then, of course, he says, you know, when it comes to the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding than then, you know, to go into this, you know, of speaking in tongues. And then he kind of brings out here, well, maybe people are going to think that we're mad. You're crazy if you're walking in. And he goes on, but if all prophecy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is judged by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. And so, you know, you read through this verse, you go, well, wow, what is Paul trying to, you know, drive home here? You know, you've got this uninformed person now, and you know, he comes in, he is convinced by all and judged by all. And all the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he's going to worship God and report that God is truly among you. And I think he is, again, looking back to that possibility. I don't think there's a contradiction here as much as he's saying, let's consider this. Let's weigh this out. I think many times we look at prophecy and we say, well, it's maybe someone has to stand up and give a prophecy. I don't think it has to be, you know, a person stands up and gives this, thus saith the Lord type of thing. I believe that prophecy takes place in a study such as this. I believe, you know, many times people come up after service and say, you know, hey, you were talking right to me. But that is, again, that particular gift. I believe it is the gift of prophecy as it comes through a teaching form just as this. And as Paul says, an unbeliever can come in or an uninformed person and become convinced, absolutely, all the secrets of their heart being revealed, and then, you know, coming to that place of brokenness and recognizing God for who he is. I think that's an awesome, awesome thing. Now, to truly grasp what Paul is saying in chapter 14, you have to accept that he, first of all, is encouraging, I believe, the balance. I believe, as I've said, that he is wanting us to know that there are proper places, if you will, to exercise the particular gift of speaking in tongues. And for those that choose to practice the gift in church, as if to say it's not wrong, but I believe he's encouraging them not to. But if to say, you know, hey, you guys want to continue on and do that, I'm going to give you some guidelines. And that's where he goes from here on out through the end of the letter. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things done be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpretation, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So I believe Paul begins here, really, you know, by just saying, guys, okay, I know some of you guys are going to go down this road. You're going to have these questions. Let me give you some guidelines for you that choose to go down this road. What happens in the service must edify, must build up. He says in verse 27, there's got to be, and he gives some specific orders. Two or three at the most, you know, in verse 27 there, latter part, we need an interpretation. And then if there's no interpretation in verse 28, he says, you know, let's just keep silent. Now, I believe here at our fellowship, if you feel like exercising that gift of speaking in tongues during a service, you know, go for it. But as Paul says, express that in your heart. Verse 28, if there's no interpretation, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. And I think that's, you know, that's okay. I've had people in our past when we were younger, in our younger years, people would come in and say, you know, Lance, and they'd prophesy over me at the end of services and stuff. And many times say, you know, wow, this church is doing good and God's blessing it, it's growing and stuff, but God's going to take it to the next level. And I'd always say, you know, what is that? And it's usually someone that's trying to come in with an agenda. And many times these people with, you know, Pentecostal backgrounds and whatnot will say, well, we think that the gifts need to start operating here. And I had that happen several times in the first few years. And I'd, you know, okay, great. Well, the gifts are in operation here. Trust me. I believe in all of them and they're operating here. It's just, we have an orderly service, and I believe the Holy Spirit is symbolized by a dove for a reason. You know, the whole peace and gentle and perfect gentleman. And I don't believe the Holy Spirit's going to interrupt himself in that particular setting. But, you know, then what do we do as a church? Well, I believe that our body should be exercising the gifts. I believe there needs to be an acceptance of the gifts. I believe that there needs to be an embracing. And we need to act on these gifts. But again, I believe the gift of speaking in tongues, Paul would be saying here clearly, better used in a private setting or in a believer's, the more mature setting. If you're going to come together, and here's the guidelines in verses 26 through 28. You know, just let two or three of you guys at one time, make sure you got an interpretation. If you don't have that person with that gift, hey, just shut it down. Just keep silent. I think in the years past, our afterglow services have always come not because someone has asked us, but the Lord has just put it on our heart. And it's a time where the body is going to come together. We used to do them after our communion services. We just wait on the Lord. And, hey, any of you guys want to stay and pray? And we're going to have this time of waiting on the Lord. Let the spiritual gifts operate. Hang out. We'd have, you know, I don't know, a lot of people hang out. A lot of people go home. Some people would sit around and go, let's check this out. But, you know, it's not something that you just want to put in the bulletin. I believe that as the church grows, we need to hear from the Lord and let Him develop these type of opportunities in the hearts of the church. And we'll know. But it's not limited to this forum, is the idea. We can have plenty of prayer meetings all week long and opportunities to worship in that forum where the Holy Spirit can operate these particular gifts. Let two or three prophets speak and let others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You know, the boundaries now of prophecies here. Again, verse 29, 2 or 3, judge it. You know, is it the Lord? You know, I think that it's good in these settings to always run it by a couple of mature saints if someone has a prophecy, direct prophecy like that. Don't interrupt each other, verse 30. 31, the purpose of the prophecy is learning and encouragement. Verse 32, the Holy Spirit will not take you over and make, you know, some crazed shouter kind of person. You know, you're going to be in control. You won't, you know, He won't take you, you know, out of yourself. You're going to be yourself. You're under control. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. If the result is confusion, then God is not in it. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Now, for you husbands that just underlined that part in the scripture and highlighted it, remember that Paul is talking to a group that was misinformed and ill-equipped and very much out of order. And he's trying to help them understand spiritual gifts. In light of that, in the context of that, he's saying there's going to be questions. Tonight we're going to have questions. It's good. It's healthy. And prayerfully we can, you know, sit down and in the right way and in the right time talk. Well, in their synagogue-type settings back there, in their church-type settings, they would see men and women separate. That was kind of the forum. At least many scholars say that. So you can imagine, you know, sometimes I'll be sharing. I'll see a, you know, a little nudge between a husband and wife. They're, you know, not passing notes anymore. They stopped that a long time ago. But it's more of the, hey, I got a question, you know. And that's all great. I think it's good as long as you're not, you know, I guess bringing too much of a distraction. But it would be really bad if, you know, the husband was over here and wife was over here. You know, and the thing is Jesse over there and he sees Peggy over there. Hey, Peggy! Or no, it would be the other way around, wouldn't it? Yeah, Jess, you're really quiet. You're a guy. You're all in control. It would be Peggy over here going, hey, Jesse, what did he say? You know, what's going on? You know, and everybody be looking and listening. You can imagine the confusion and the disorder. And I think that was part of it, too. So not only would they have a teaching like this and, man, someone would start speaking in tongues and maybe another person had a prophecy and they'd give a thus saith the Lord. And, you know, and everyone's kind of sitting around and from time to time there were new believers walking in and just they were confused. And there's a proper way to go about this. We might be coming from different backgrounds and have different thoughts on this. But this is the word of the Lord. And this is what God wants us to embrace and understand and experience order therein. And so, again, girls, I think what it is just don't make too much of a commotion in the fellowship, you know, and just, you know, when you see your hubby, you know, after the service or whatever, maybe break it up with him at that time. Or did, in verse 36, the Word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are indeed the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Paul brings the highest claim to his teaching. This is the Lord's command. Paul says, not only is this the Lord's command, but anyone who is a prophet or a spiritually gifted individual, is what he's saying there, they're going to recognize that fact. They're going to recognize what I'm saying as definitely this is from the Lord. And then if someone were to not recognize this authority that Paul has as the Lord's, then they're ignorant. Just let them, you know, let them be. Paul was not going to waste his time trying to convince them. And I think that's a gracious mark upon Paul's life. He was so convinced in his Savior. He was so convinced in the Holy Spirit and his operational giftings in Paul's life that he just was convinced. He didn't have to show off and he didn't have to stand up and be the final word, if you will. It's the word of the Lord. And the work of the Lord will be a proof. And I'm not going to have to debate that. So, verse 40. Man, a beautiful picture of what worship can be. A beautiful thing. And there's two parts of that verse we're going to close with. Things must be done decently and in order. But then he says, let all things be done. Some, you know, churches emphasize the first, while other churches might even emphasize the last. Some say everything's got to be decently in order, and well, we're not going to be into the spiritual gifts, and we're not going to even give any room for those gifts and whatnot. And they do that to, I think, their own fault. It's limiting to limit the Holy Spirit in any way. And then there's some that don't care about the order, but just let's just do it all. And it becomes quite a circus. But Paul says here to allow prophecy and tongues, interpretation of tongues, all these spiritual gifts, but in a decent, orderly manner. You need to believe in this as it is the word of the Lord, but you need to take ownership in this as it relates to the spiritual gifts and use them in an orderly manner. Don't treat this like you would maybe a gym membership where I got to have it. And then you get it and you use it and use it and use it for like 2 weeks. And you're like, yeah, this guy knows me. That is prophecy, Lance. You're talking right to me now. I'm only one of those guys just like you. Don't use it like a gym membership. Just desire. Pursue love and we'll be balanced. Desire the gifts. There'll be action because God, He's into imparting the gifts. Those capacities for service. And then let's take the greater lesson on the gift of tongues. The Holy Spirit wanted us to break this down and to understand the proper place and to make sure that our body always has order in regard to chapter 14. Amen.
Well, today Lance Cook has been offering us rich nuggets and insights on how we go about using these spiritual gifts that are described here in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and using them in a way that benefits the body of Christ. As we've been learning on today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment. Now, if you'd like to receive this study either for yourself or maybe to pass on to someone, please make sure you specify tape number 4602-35. Again, that tape number is 4602-35. And for credit card orders, simply call us at 714-441-2845. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover Card. And again, simply call us at 714-441-2845. If you're sending us a check, please make it payable to Seeds of Commitment and write to us at 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. We'd love getting your feedback as well, letting us know how Seeds of Commitment has been a source of encouragement and help in your walk with Christ. And to know more about our ministries and activities, simply go to our website at www.seedsofcommitment.org. There you can know more about the radio ministry of Seeds of Commitment. Again, log on to www.seedsofcommitment.org. And then make it a point to join with Lance Cook for more rich commentary in our studies in 1 Corinthians. Until then, may God bless you as you stay committed to the Word of God.